This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. It's Halloween, a day where children and adults alike throw the rules of sensible nutrition out the window and, to put it bluntly, gorge themselves. For adults who dip into the candy bowl, Halloween can summon powerful memories of childhood. Bite into a junior mint or a piece of licorice, and suddenly you're back at the movie theater for a Saturday matinee. Beth Kimmerly believes confections are a part of American history. Her new book, Candy, The Sweet History, explores how the marketing, packaging, and consumption of candy often reflects what's going on in society. One example, she says, is the liquid-filled wax candy called Nickel Nips. They were popular during Prohibition.
There are wax bottles that had sugar syrup in them, and I think they were popular, as were a lot of sweets during Prohibition, because people weren't drinking anymore.
And so this was a way to get a little bit of sugar rush. If you stop drinking, your sugar levels often go down.
Exactly.
Fight the shakes or something like that.
Exactly.
And candy also had an interesting role in history during the Depression. It was marketed as a healthy substitute at a time when food was in rather short supply.
It was healthy and inexpensive. If you can imagine, it was a very cheap way to get some nourishment, and it was marketed as not only inexpensive, but, you know, a full meal sort of satisfying treat. You had a lot of candy bars like Chicken Dinner, say, and Denver Sandwich that became popular because they connotated these full meal sounding names.
So there was no chicken in the Chicken Dinner candy bar.
There was no chicken, although it had a picture of a freshly roasted chicken steaming on the outside of the package.
What was actually in that candy bar?
That candy was a little bit of nuts, a little bit of caramel, and a little bit of milk chocolate.
The candy bar, as we know it, I guess, was introduced around 1912 and had this boom throughout the 20s. And in World Wars I and II, candy bars were very much part of military life as D-rations.
They sure were. In fact, if you were a candy company and got a contract from the government to produce candy, that was really significant and important, because that meant that you can continue to buy sugar and, you know, the necessary ingredients. A lot of companies stopped producing candy because they couldn't get their hands on ingredients. Like, for instance, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum went out of production during the war, and Wrigley had an advertising campaign reminding people to remember their product, showing a lonely, empty wrapper on the advertising billboards.
When the soldiers returned home in the beginning of the baby boom, when candy companies were trying to, I guess, market to this new generation, there seemed to be sort of a concept behind the candies. And we have a box of them here. It's when you see things like wax lips and candy necklaces and Lick-A-Made.
Well, I think a lot of these companies realized that not only could candy provide something delicious, but could also be something really fun for people. So wax lips were sort of this double bonus. Not only could you wear them around and play around with them, but you could also eat them at the end. Same with candy necklaces. There was also this huge boom in candy watches and all sorts of things that you can wear and chew and really have extra fun with.
One of the things that we have here, we have a box of this novelty candy, and I can't tell you how much fun it has been to dive into this. It's like a trip down memory lane looking at Pixie Sticks and Charleston Chews and Sugar Babies. We have something that I admit I haven't thought about since the 1970s, something called Pop Rocks.
Pop Rocks.
They look like little, actually they look like the crystals that you see at the bottom of a fish tank.
They do, a little bit smaller and I think slightly aerated.
And these happen to be kind of a turquoise color.
Beautiful.
I've got about 10 of them. Is that about the right amount? I'm gonna just stick my tongue out and drop them right on my tongue.
Okay.
Oh my God.
How's it taste? Oh, wow, there you go.
It sounds like an egg is frying inside my mouth. If I were 10 years old, this would be really cool.
Yeah, the kids like it super sour and super, super poppy.
And since you've studied candy, you've made a study of it, in all of your research, why is it that some candy last for years? Some candy has such strong staying power.
Because candy's with us at very special moments. We have candy at movies, and we have candy at Easter, and we have candy at significant holidays like Valentine's Day. And people want those memories again. They want to be able to relive those. Often I hear, whatever happened to, or do they still make? And people get this look in their eyes, and they get so excited because they're remembering their lives through candy.
Beth, thanks so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Beth Kimmerly is the author of Candy, The Sweet History. To hear about candy memories and favorite sweets, we talk with some visitors to the National Mall here in Washington.
The Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, I would steal them from my sister all the time. I'd eat all mine and then go and steal hers. So whenever they were missing, she always knew who was responsible. It was me. Because they were just so little, you know, and you could just eat them in one bite. They were gone.
I remember the chicken feed when I was a kid. Remember the chicken feed? The yellow, red, and white little sugar killers.
Since I quit smoking a year ago, I find I like really chewy candies. So I'm addicted to bitter honey and Laffy Taffy banana flavor. The bitter honey comes with about 6 little rectangles in a pack for like 65 cents. And you tear them off one at a time and you eat them and your teeth get all into them. They're really bad for your teeth.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. When I was a kid, I thought, when I get rich enough, I'm going to buy a bag of Reese's and sit down and eat them until I can't eat anymore.
Twizzlers are really my candy of choice. My husband got me hooked on Twizzlers for movie watching. One time early in our relationship, I went up and I got popcorn and I got soda and I didn't get the Twizzlers and I came back and I never lived it down.
Frozen Milky Ways, 5 cents, and you get it at the Tompkinsville Pool down in Staten Island, New York. Yeah. As I recall, to get into the pool, it was 11 cents. I think the penny was the tax. And, of course, you had 16 cents with you to go down there. That nickel was for the frozen Milky Way.
That was Tina Wilson, Harry Harris, Trudy, who didn't give us her last name, Bill Rountree, Annie Elliott, and Drew Van Winkle. From all of us at All Things Considered, have a happy and safe Halloween.